Let's bring in Matt George. Maybe Matt George gets a talk show soon, man. Maybe he gets, you know, brings it back, revitalizes the talk show era.
Probably not.
Late night hosted
probably
by Matt
not.
George.
I mean, look, I host a solo show for 30 minutes. I'm happy to bring up different people on to talk to, and it's nice to talk to another human being every once in a while. But I don't have the charisma I could give things away like Oprah, I guess, but I can't be full for that.
I wouldn't say you don't have the charisma. You've done the many faces of Matt George, like McFoley on here.
Yeah, I think he does. He's selling himself short a little bit.
I mean, there's a reason why the bits only last a couple minutes, not a full show. I can only carry it so far. I was running out when I did my D-Lo impression. I was running out of material quick.
Well, Matt George, ABC 10. You came in right on time because we got alerted to a tweet or a report from Brett Siegel talking about the Kings in pursuit or still pursuit. Nothing's really changed, it feels like, of Jonathan Kuminga, talking about the offer being Sarge, Devin Carter, and a conditional first-round pick, a protected first-round pick, and how the Warriors are looking for Keegan Murray and Keon Ellis. And it's like, all right, you can look for that, but it feels like the Warriors, and I know the Bay Area people hate when we talk like this, but we're literally just looking at the situation. They don't have many plays in this situation. Kuminga doesn't want to be there. They don't want to pay. They just met, I think, last week in Las Vegas, and basically reiterated on both sides how they feel about each other. It feels like this Sacramento deal might still be the best thing that they could do with Jonathan Kuminga.
Well, our boy Bonte found me at Niners training camp yesterday and made sure to give me an earful about that. Love Bonte. It's nothing new, right? Like Shams put it out there today that the Kuminga's not like in any kind of hurry to re-sign with the Warriors. The Warriors aren't happy with the concrete offers that they've gotten, which is one from the Kings and one from the Suns. And I've seen like Warrior circles talking about other offers and other potential like teams that could be interested in other rumors. Like, I don't know if it's wishful thinking or not. I'm not from the perspective of the Warriors. I'm from the perspective of the Sacramento Kings, and that perspective hasn't changed, right? It's like if there's any slight movement, it's the willingness to make it a heavily protected first instead of a second rounder. I think the protections would be steep to a level where we would expect them almost to turn into second rounders type thing. Very similar to like the first round pick that the Kings sent. I can't remember what deal it was, but the Kings sent out a first that is almost guaranteed to be a second rounder or two, or maybe it's a second rounder that's almost guaranteed to not convey.
The one they got from Charlotte or something like that this year?
Well, that's the one that they acquired. Yeah, they got the Charlotte pick this year that everybody knew was not going to convey and it was going to turn to two second rounders. Regardless, like, the Kings situation has not changed, right? And I'm glad Clutch Point's putting it out there. Brett's a good dude. Shams is putting it out there. It's all the same thing that I said weeks ago. It's Saric, it's Carter, and it's some sort of draft compensation. The Warriors are not interested in Malik Monk, one, because I don't think they feel he fits and they could use him, and two, because his contract, specifically the fourth year of his contract, which is a $22 million player option, I believe, is not exciting or enticing to a lot of teams with how tight money is right now. So Monk is not on the table. Keon Ellis and Keegan Murray are absolutely not on the table, like from what I understand. In fact, when I asked about that, I got laughter in response. So, like, that's not the case. Though the Warriors can want it just as much as I want $1 million for walking into my work. It's not going to happen. And so we're in the same spot, right? Like, the Kings, this is what we got. You don't have to accept it. You can take another offer, find something better. You can pay Jonathan Kuminga and work it out later. Whatever you want to do. But this is what we're making available to you. Take it or leave it. And nothing's changed. It's all kind of just the same waiting game.
Do you think the Kings, how do I put this? How do you think they look at Jonathan Kuminga? Do you think it gets to a point where, yes, they're negotiating Yes, they understand they're not trying to bid against themselves and all this other stuff, but they're, it might get to a point where, look, I know we don't want to do that, but we really want to take this chance on Jonathan Kuminga. Let's up the deal where we need to make sure we get the deal done. Do you think they feel that strongly about Jonathan Kuminga, or is it more so, hey, if it works out, like if we have a deal that works for us, then we'd love to have him here, but we're not going to overexert ourselves to try to get him?
I believe there are members of the Kings organization that really do want him and think that he's available and this is the best chance that they're going to get to acquire a young talent like that. And they're encouraging the Kings to remain aggressive. But I think Scott Perry is at the end of that with the final say, saying we're not going to do anything silly in order to bring him here. I think, I mean, I've said personally, I think Jonathan Kuminga is a good project at a right time for the Sacramento Kings. They need depth at his position. He's got athleticism that this team lacks. He's not old. And this team has a lot of kind of older players. So I think now is the right time to where for the next season to two seasons, the Kings are, in my opinion, kind of be treading water as a average team in the West, a play-in team in the West. Now is the time where you can give the patience to a Jonathan Kuminga where he can work on some things and continue to develop his game and grow in Sacramento, where he doesn't have to be maximized right away like he does in Golden State, because they're on a Steph Curry retirement window, right? And they're trying to maximize that as much as they possibly can because they're on a clock. The Kings kind of aren't on a clock right now. The Kings are more waiting for the clock to reset. So I think Kuminga is a good project at a right time for Sacramento, but it's not such a... It's not like a first or second overall pick to where they can choose what project they can have. So they're going to trade a lot to get that first or second round pick. Right. They're trading for a player that we have at least enough context to know there are some issues. There is some upside. And they also know the Warriors circumstance. So they're not going to jump and go the extra mile to give Golden State the out. Why would they do that? Why would any organization do that? And I think Golden State understands that too. So that's where we are. We're just at a kind of a standstill stalemate.
Yeah. Before we kind of talked it out, and see, Jesse, this is a good thing that we talked it out. That's all we were doing.
Yeah, we didn't make a definitive answer. We talked it out and came to a conclusion. We were right.
Because over the weekend, I was running around North Carolina, so I wasn't super locked in, but I thought I saw something where, you know, Keon Ellis, and it was like, hey, the Warriors, you know, want Keon Ellis in a deal or something like that. And I'm not gonna lie, I thought about it. I want Keon Ellis here. Like, I want him. This is a guy I want in Sacramento, and I want to build with him. But I also feel like maybe some of those people in the organization that this is a heck of an opportunity that you might not always get here with a guy like Kuminga, and I kind of don't want to pass that up. So I struggled with the thought of, you know, would I move on from a guy like Keon Ellis to make sure I take this opportunity? After we talked through it and talked about the situations, no, you don't do that. You stand pat and you do what you have to do. But is that something that it would even cross your mind about, you know, potentially including Keon Ellis in a deal for a guy like Kuminga?
The only way I would, if I were the Kings, include Keon in the conversation is if I felt by picking up his option this offseason that I potentially burned a bridge. And I've been told Keon and his camp are not happy. Why would they be to pick up that qualifying offer to where he's going to make less money than a vast majority of the talent on the Kings roster that he's going to be playing ahead of, right? Everybody wants to get paid and paid what they're worth. And Keon Ellis is not paid what he's worth by NBA standards. So if the Kings feel that, man, we made this decision because we felt we had to financially this offseason to give ourselves the flexibility to get out, go and get Schroeder or whatever other moves they made, and we can argue whether that was the move to make any time. But regardless, they made that move. And if they feel like that burned a bridge to where Keon's not going to want to play ball going forward, then yes, can you turn Keon Ellis into something like Jonathan Kuminga before he leaves in unrestricted free agency? There's a route there. But I don't think that's the case. I don't believe the Sacramento Kings and Keon Ellis have a any kind of worse relationship because of what's happened. I do believe the Sacramento Kings are more than interested in finding a long-term resolution with Keon, just like they're interested in finding a long-term resolution with Keegan Murray. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, again, the Sacramento Kings and Scott Perry shouldn't feel like he has to include anything of a value of a Keon Ellis to get the Jonathan Kuminga situation done, because he probably feels he can play the long game. So I don't think the Kings should and really would ever consider it based off of the Keon circumstance and based off the fact that no one is going to throw the Warriors a bone to help them get out of a messy situation that they themselves created and are struggling to find a way out of.
Yeah. No, I feel you. Like you said, we mentioned it, we brought it up, then we talked about it, and we was like, nah, we don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. It's all good. It's all good. Matt George, ABC10 here as we wind down D-Lo and KC for this Thursday. And Matt, you know, a lot of Kings stuff going on. We talk Kings literally for a living. We have a good time with that. I want to ask you something else. And as I think about the question, I feel like you're a little younger than me. You might be out of the demographic that sees a guy like Hulk Hogan the way myself and D-Lo see Hulk Hogan. Were you around for yellow and red Hulk Hogan?
I wasn't. I was never a Hulkamaniac or anything like that. In fact, what's funny is, and I don't know if I've told this before, I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling growing up. You like, my mom was not a fan of wrestling because I grew up in the... What?
I said, you're rebelling now. He's sneaking and watching wrestling today. Uh-oh. Well, this is a good free zone. It's a good one.
Poor Matt.
Hallway. Walk. Who's my connection? Hold on.
It's like the commercial.
Is it okay? Am I here?
Are you back? You back now. You back. That was an official Matt George free zone. I don't think we've ever had
it. Okay. All right. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I apologize. All right. I'm going to a different room that usually has better connection. No, I was not a Hulkamaniac. I was not allowed to watch wrestling growing up. And even like Hulk was big when I was like super, super young. So I've seen videos of like Hulk Hogan and then seen his returns and promos that he's had when he just show up at WrestleManias for no reason and say like the Silver Dome instead of the Super Dome or whatever in New Orleans. I was never really a Hulk Hogan fan or a follower of Hulk Hogan, but I understand the pioneer he was to wrestling. So, but not a, like my superheroes in wrestling when I was a kid are Undertaker and Shawn Michaels and Triple H and, I guess end of the run Rock and those guys. That was my era of wrestlers, and Dave Bautista. Those are my guys growing up.
Dave Bautista, no doubt, no doubt. So, like, we talk about this, me, myself, and Damian. We talk about this with Jesse sometimes because Jesse's younger, obviously. I think you're around that age as well, maybe a little older. But we talk about it with Michael Jordan, and we're like, and how we revere Michael Jordan the way we do. Unless you were there, it's hard to explain how big of a deal Michael Jordan was. Like, he was, I know everybody has historical context and all this other stuff, but it's even more, you can't put it into words, you can't put it into stories, how big of a deal Michael Jordan was unless you were kind of there. I kind of feel that way about Hulk Hogan. Like, unless you were there in 84 through 89 and a Hulkamania and all this other stuff, it was something you kind of had to live through to understand why people like myself or anybody was like, oh, there'll never be anybody bigger than Hulk Hogan. Like, it was just different. And we talked about it earlier, like, the man, I'm able to separate the man from the character that was Hulk Hogan. And, yeah, I'm not going to shade the character at all. I don't think that we'll ever see a bigger wrestler than Hulk Hogan. Not in my lifetime.
I was not one of those people that experienced what it was like when Hulkamania was running wild. Like, I just, I, I didn't experience it. I didn't know it. I didn't get it. Like my era of the superhero or of wrestling is Cena. Mm-hmm. So I can't really speak to it. I can appreciate it. And of course we've gone back on like the WWE Network and stuff like that to watch some of it. I'm also, and I've gotten myself in trouble with old head wrestling fans too. Like we're so spoiled with modern wrestling now and what these wrestlers can do in terms of the athleticism, the men, the women, doesn't matter. What they do now is insane. And they, of course, I've seen the video on the internet 1,000 times of Hulk slamming Andre the Giant. Yeah. And it's like that moment I can imagine when it happened was unbelievable. Right. But you watch it now and you're like, he just picked the dude up and then dropped him. Like that, like Big Show's gotten that, had that happen to him like 17 times over the last few years of his WWE run. Yeah. So I would call myself almost a spoiled wrestler fan because I didn't experience the OG days. I didn't even really experience like ECW. That was probably the reason why ECW was probably the reason why my mom wouldn't let me watch it.
I can believe that. Yeah, ECW was crazy. That and the Nitro Girls, maybe that's why they,
hey, you put ECW on the wrong day, and yeah, no. It's like, what the hell is this?
Well, there was a vivid rivalry that I remember growing up with back in the day that ruined any chance of watching wrestling. Do you remember when Cena and Edge had their rivalry and Lita was involved? Well, there was a specific segment Edge and Lita did.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was it. I was cooked. And there were things called... Well, I don't even want to say it. There were matches that the ladies would do in undergarments that were common as well. It was a different era that mom wasn't too cool with.
Hey, you were shut out from wrestling during that time. I was gone from wrestling at that time. I had already kind of walked away.
You made the right choice
at that time. I was like, it was like Attitude Era was over. This was Ruthless Aggression. Wouldn't you say that's Ruthless Aggression?
When you left?
Yeah, like
yeah, around that
Edge
time.
And
yeah,
and
yeah.
I wasn't tapped in for that one.
Vividly remember. I vividly remember one day because I loved DX, but I loved DX the Shawn Michaels and Triple H version when they made fun of Mr. McMahon and they beat up they beat up the Spirit Squad. Like that's the version of DX that I loved.
Right.
And they're. Like they're those shirts, they were so popular that you could find those shirts in like a Kohl's or something. And I remember seeing a DX shirt in Kohl's and I grabbed it. I was like, Mom, can I get this? I love DX. And she flips it over to the backside and it says their catchphrase. And she said, absolutely not. What is this from? I was cooked then too.
Yeah. That'll seal the deal right there. You're not going to be able to get that shirt. Not gonna be able to get that one. You were far removed from I forget how much older I am than you. You were far removed from
WrestleMania. Old.
Yeah, I'm not even Unk no more. They said I'm now OG. You know, I'm not Unk no more, so you know, it happens. Real quick, we've got about 2 or 3 minutes. You said you were at 49ers training camp yesterday. Anything stick out? I know it was the first time they were on the field, so there wasn't a lot going on. But were you able to take anything from the first day of camp?
Yeah, I mean, I was wandering around just trying to shoot and get as much as possible and trying to follow everything. But the one thing that stuck with me is I was on one of the sidelines and I'm shooting, and all of a sudden I look up and Ricky Pearsall's right in front of me. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to start shooting Ricky Pearsall. He's working one-on-one with the coach and just kind of running routes. Mm. And he looked fast, like he looked good. And then Shanahan takes the podium afterwards and basically says, like, if back in the day, like Ricky Pearsall would be a go, like he'd be participating like normal right now. Mm-hmm. And they said he's running his routes at full speed and matching or even beating his normal speed times on routes that he did before he got hurt. So he's basically back right there, but they're taking the time because they can right now. They have the mandatory 4 days without pads. So my takeaway, there's a lot of stuff. My takeaway was Ricky Pearsall looks quick. He looks healthy. And I mean, I know that receiving room needs desperately to get healthy. I think he's going to be back very soon, like next week soon.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I saw some other footage of him as well. It might've been from you. It might've been somewhere else, but he was like running from sideline to sideline. Full speed, and I was like, he looks fine. It sounds like after seeing him, it was like, oh yeah, this is probably just precautionary, and just making sure everything's good. So, No doubt.
Yeah,
no
he
doubt.
Looked good.
All right, man. Matt, I know you had a busy day. You're out there working. He made some time for me, man, so I appreciate you, big dog. Thank you, man.
Appreciate it. Sorry about the internet. Chatty House, make sure you jot down the freeze time whenever it happened.
344, they said. 344. Yeah.
Put it on a shirt.
Put it on a shirt. Matt George, ABC 10, man. I appreciate you, big dog.
Appreciate you guys.